Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy gives sight to a blind man? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little boy, you kiss the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. Did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Did you know that your baby boy one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect land?
Thank you, Brother Bob. You pray for Brother Shaddix this Tuesday at 1 o'clock. We'll conduct the memorial service for his father who passed away this past week. And it's always encouraging to me, you know, as a preacher, I expect preachers to do it. When something like that takes place, go on and serve the Lord. But it blesses my heart to see laymen in the church that do the same thing. I want you to open your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew. And we'll begin to read in verse number 18. And I'm excited that something has gotten a hold of the heart of Caleb Haynes for him to move up to the front. And revival's in. And we're excited about that. And I've been praying for him, asking God to get a hold of his heart. Whatever it'll take to get him to the front. Next step's the altar. It's hot in here, isn't it, son? I love every minute of it. If I knew how to prolong it any longer, I would. Miss Sarah, it's good to see you home, hon. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Notice how careful the scripture is to protect her purity. The Bible plainly states that she was found with child before she and her espoused husband had ever been intimate. By the way, Men and women, that's the way it ought to be. Marriage, then intimacy. And she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Now, please understand that according to the law, Joseph could have made a public mockery of her. All the evidence seemed to say Mary was guilty of improper actions, immorality. But the Bible tells us that she was a virgin. She had never known a man. And that the child in her was of the Holy Ghost. It was God incarnate in her. God used her body to give body to God who is spirit. And the Bible says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now notice, the angel said to Joseph, you will name the boy. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of Joseph. And the title of my message this evening is, Let's Hear It for Joseph. Heavenly Father, thank you for the story of the incarnation. Thank you for showing us, Heavenly Father, how that the divine plans of God was extended to the hands of a man to carry out, and to the life of a pure little virgin girl to carry out. And thank you for the faithfulness of this couple in a very difficult public view and situation. Oh, how the old biddies probably wagged their tongues, and how the Pharisees gossiped and accused. But thank you that you recorded in the Word of God. And one day, when heaven's books will be open, heaven's message of the birth of Jesus, as recorded in the Bible, will be revealed. And all the gossips will hang their head, and all of the accusers will bow in shame, because Joseph and Mary were the instruments of God to bring about his predetermined will in this world, whereby sinners might have a Savior. Now, Lord, help me tonight to say some things about the man Joseph, that we might understand how that you use ordinary men in difficult circumstances to do great things when they'll trust you and believe you and obey you. Now help me tonight in Jesus' name. Give me strength. Help my voice to hold out during this message. And we'll thank you for what you shall do in Christ's name. Amen. If you'll excuse me a moment, I want to bring some lubricant over, because I'm going to need it. When I was a boy and we used to hitch the horses up to the wagon, we carried a can of grease because every now and then one of the wheels would get to squeaking and you'd have to grease that wheel. They didn't have bearings back then, just metal bushings coated with grease. And that's what I'm doing. I'm coating, giving some lubricant to my voice. I want to talk to you tonight about Joseph, the husband of Mary, the stepfather of Jesus Christ. Now at Christmas time, we hear a lot of preaching and teaching about Jesus' birth, and even about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his virgin birth. But I don't believe I've ever heard anybody but myself preach about Joseph. Joseph was a good man. He was not the biological father of Jesus. He was his earthly stepfather. That gives him an ugly connotation in our world today, a stepfather. But he was the husband of Mary and the stepfather of Jesus and the father of the half-brothers and sisters of Jesus. Now, Joseph had a major responsibility in raising Jesus to manhood. You understand that Jesus was not born full grown. He was born a baby. He had to be taught. Oh yes, he was God. Yes, he was omniscient. But he went through the process of being taught and trained as a child. And the majority of that, after he was 5 years old, was the father's responsibility. Joseph accepted his pregnant bride, knowing that it was not his baby. He cared for her. He loved her and attended her as she gave birth to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, Christ was born the Son of Man, though he was never the son of a man. The birth of Jesus, the announcement by the angels to the shepherds, the star and the wise men that came later, all confirmed in Joseph's heart that this woman who gave birth to this child was indeed pure and virgin. She was faithful and loyal to God and to her husband, and her honor and purity was intact when he took her as his wife. Now tonight I want you to consider four thoughts about Joseph. The first thing I want you to do is to know that he was a real man. I want you to understand he was literal. This is not some fairy tale. This is not some mythical story. And stop just a moment and put yourself in the place of Joseph as a man, a spouse to a young woman. And she comes up expecting a baby. And you know you've not been immoral. You've not been improper. And you're future bride is getting bigger. This is a real story, a literal story. Most men would have cut and run. Most men would have publicly humiliated her. But this real man who had the same feelings, who had to deal with the same anxieties and question marks that any other man would deal with, had a word from God. He listened to God. And he dealt with the situation in a manner that was honorable to God and protective of his future bride. Now, he was a literal man. Joseph didn't wear blue spandex with a big gold S on his chest and a red cape. He was a literal man. A literal man. You know, not only was he a literal man, he was a real man. He was a man's man. He could deal with hardship. He could deal with heartaches. He could deal with problems without running, without turning his back, without hurting someone. I'm amazed at people who try to present themselves as tough. And when situations get tough, the only way they know to deal with a situation is to hurt somebody else. Not Joseph. He could have hurt Mary. He could have publicly humiliated her. But he was a man's man. He was an honorable man. He was not a lazy man. He was not a wimp of a man. He was not a selfish man. He was a man. And being a man, there was something important about him. According to the Bible, there was royalty in his blood. Look in your Bible, if you will, to Matthew chapter 1, verse 6. And in Matthew chapter 1, we have the lineage of Jesus through Joseph. Now in Luke, we have the lineage of Jesus through Mary. But I want you to notice here in Matthew chapter 6, it says, "And Jesse," that's the father of David, "Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias," that's Bathsheba. So, we see here in this verse that the lineage is through Jesse, David with Bathsheba, and their son Solomon. And then we come over to the bottom, the end of the lineage, and it said, "And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." So that makes Joseph in the royal lineage of David. So he was a real man, and royalty was in his blood. But it was not only in his blood, it was in Mary's blood. Mary was of the lineage of David through David's son Nathan. And both, according to the scripture and the prophecy, go back through David of the tribe of Judah, just like the Bible prophesied. But Joseph was a real man, and royalty was in his blood. But over the years, he didn't live in a palace. Though royalty was in his blood, poverty was in his life. He was not a wealthy man. He was a blue-collar worker. He was a hard-working man. He earned his living by the sweat of his face. So how do you know that? Because of the Bible. Let's look over here in Leviticus chapter 12. And we'll read verses 6, 7, and 8. And in Leviticus chapter 12, God is giving the law for the purification of a woman after she gives birth to a son or to a daughter. And the Bible says, "And when the days of her purification are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath borne a male or a female." Now look at verse 8. "And if she be not able to bring a lamb, if she be so poor that she can't afford a lamb, then she can bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, and the one for the burnt offering, the other for the sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Now that's what the law states. Turn now over to Luke. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And in Luke chapter 2, look at verse 24. Jesus has been born. It is now, the Bible says in verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. Notice, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. When it came to Joseph offering the sacrifice for his wife, for her purification and cleansing after the birth of Jesus, according to the law, though royalty was in his blood, poverty was in his life. He was a poor man who worked hard as a carpenter every day to provide for his family. They didn't live in the fancy house. They didn't have the best food. He was a hard-working man. And when it came to providing an offering for his wife, he could afford only two pigeons or two turtle doves, according to the law. So, while royalty was in his blood, poverty was in his life. Thirdly, loyalty was in his heart. Loyalty was in his heart. Look at verse number 19, 20. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now I said to you that not only was royalty in his blood, poverty was in his life, but loyalty was in his heart. And verse 19 and 20 shows me that he was loyal to this young woman. He was a spouse to her. She was to be his bride. He was to be her husband. An unbelievable, life-shaking circumstance had taken place before the wedding could take place and the marriage could be consummated. Mary was expecting a baby. According to the law, he could have made a public example of her. But he was committed to her. He was loyal to her. And he said, no, I can also choose to put her away privately, where she'll not be disgraced or defamed. And that's what he chose to do. Loyalty. Loyalty, the Bible tells us, was in his heart. But not only loyalty to his spouse bride, loyal to God. Loyal to God with all of these circumstances around him. A spouse to a young woman, and he knows he's not been immoral. He knows he's not been impure. He knows that he's not had a relationship with her that was not proper, and yet she's expecting a baby. Loyalty was in his heart. He chose to protect her instead of humiliate her. But in the midst of all of this, while he was sleeping, he had a dream. The angel of the Lord appeared to him. Listen to what the Bible says. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. God spoke to him. In the Bible days, many times, God would speak in a dream, or he would appear in a theophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, and speak to his servants. But on this night, in this situation, he appeared to Joseph. The Bible says, while he thought on these things, I don't know if he had laid down to go to sleep at night and was thinking about these things and went to sleep, and in the dream the angel of the Lord appeared to him, or he was setting up thinking about, I don't know. But it says the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And the angel of the Lord told him, don't be afraid to take Mary to be thy wife. She's not been unfaithful to you. She's not been immoral. She's still pure. She's still a virgin. That which is in her is of the Holy Ghost. God put that seed in her to bring his son Jesus into the world. Now think about it. That's all he had. He didn't have a written Bible. But he was a man of faith, loyal to his bride-to-be and loyal to his God. And he did exactly what God told him to do. Then, not only was he a real man with royalty in his blood and poverty in his life and loyalty in his heart, he was a righteous man. Look at verse number 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. And when you see that in the Bible, that's another word for righteous or saved man. A man that had a right relationship with God. Thus was the case with Joseph. He had a right standing with God, and he had a right relationship with God. He was not a stranger to God. He wasn't one of these kind of men that when he prayed, he said, I don't guess you know me. Talking to the big man upstairs. No. He had a relationship with God. He knew God. God knew him. He had a relationship with God. He was no stranger to God. I love old westerns. But I would to God there'd be some hero on an old western that would pray and talk about God other than the old man upstairs. Or the big boss up in the sky. No, Joseph knew him. He had a relationship with him. He understood when God spoke to him. Hey, he knew it wasn't chilly. He knew it wasn't E. coli from a trip to the restaurant. He knew it was God who was speaking to him. By the way, are you close enough to God to know when God's speaking to you? Or do you get his voice mixed up with all the other voices you're listening to? You have trouble distinguishing him because you're not tuned in on his frequency. Some of you out there, if Jesus was dependent upon you as a man to be the earthly father of Jesus, the story would not have turned out like this. Because you wouldn't have recognized God. Oh, you know how to get on the internet. You know how to search things you ought not be searching. But you're a stranger to God's voice and God's ways and God's will. Not Joseph. Joseph was a righteous man, a just man. God put it down in the Bible and sealed it, preserved it with his honesty. A righteous man. Not only did he have a right relationship with God, he was obedient to the will of God. Obedient to the will of God. Now let me tell you, what God was asking Joseph to do was not an easy thing for a man to do. God was asking him to take his bride that was expecting a baby, and Joseph knew it wasn't his baby, and to take her and love her and raise that baby as his own. To work, to provide for it, to teach him, to train him, to give him an education, to put clothes on his back, food in his stomach, and a roof over his head. Man. In all of this, he was obedient to the will of God. Look at verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Now that word statement, took unto him his wife, means that he married her. And don't you go any further. He legally, according to the law of the land, married her. But he was not intimate with her until after Jesus was born. Look at what the scripture says in verse 25. And knew her not. When you see that statement, knew her. It's talking about a man having a relationship with his wife and a baby being conceived, or having a relationship, a marital relationship with his wife. By the way, what's immoral outside of marriage is God's gift inside of the boundaries of marriage. What's an abomination in the sight of God is clean and pure inside of marriage between a husband and wife. He obeyed God. He was obedient. He married her. He did not have a relationship with her until Jesus was born, and then he named that baby exactly what the Lord told him to name him, Jesus. Jesus. He was obedient to the will of God. Then may I say also, under the righteous man, he was a man of discipline and self-control. He knew her not. Well, I can tell you right now, if God was looking for a Joseph in the crowd I'm preaching to tonight, he'd had a tough time finding him. Married to her, and not touching her morally, sexually, until after Jesus was born. That's what took place. Whew. Let's hear it for Joseph. What a man. What a man. A man who loved God. A man who feared God. A man of discipline and self-control. Thirdly, he was a responsive man. A responsive man. Look at verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. He was sensitive to the leadership of God in his life and in his family. He was ready to hear the word of God and do it. Not like some of you. I've had people in our membership say to me, when I take the Word of God and show them what God's Word says, written, preserved, inspired of God, and hear them say, I don't care what God said. I want to do this. Or this is what I think or I feel. Not Joseph. He was a responsive man. He was ready to hear the word of God and obey it. He did exactly in verse 25 what God told him to. By the way, how responsive are you to the leadership of God in your life? How quick are you to hear the Holy Spirit tug at your heart about an area of your life, and you hit the altar and deal with it the way God wants it dealt with? I can tell you, some of you are not sensitive at all. Some of you have not been to this altar one time in a year. And something's bad wrong if you've been to church in a year for a year and God's not spoken to your heart or your life. He was a responsive man. I don't believe everybody has to get up and hit the altar every service. But I believe when God speaks to our heart, we ought to move. I believe when the Holy Spirit tugs at our heartstrings, we ought to get out of our seat and not give a flip who's present or what anybody thinks. We ought to take care of business with God. He was a responsive man. A responsive man. And then, I want you to know Joseph was a man that fulfilled the will of God. Notice what he did. He assured the honorable birth of Jesus Christ. He assured the honorable birth. He assured that Jesus would receive his divinely appointed name. Somehow Jobab don't fit Jesus. God said, I want his name to be called Jesus. Savior! That's who he is! Now, do you think Joseph didn't know what it meant? He knew exactly what it meant. I imagine Joseph thought, well, people are going to make fun of me. They're going to think I'm big-headed, arrogant, egomaniac, egotistical, whichever one fits. Calling my son, my stepson, Savior. Oh, but this wasn't Joseph's doing. It was God's doing. And Joseph was obedient to the will of God. Obedient to the will of God. He fulfilled, he assured that Jesus would receive his divinely appointed name. Thirdly, he took steps to assure the life of Christ. You see, there was a king that had committed to kill him. The devil was committed to kill him. The plan was to take any child at that age, 2 years of age and under, and have them slain, trying to make sure they got rid of Jesus. But Joseph took he and Mary and fled to Egypt to assure his life that he'd have a chance to grow up. Here was a father that took steps to assure not only the birth of Christ, but that he'd be given the divinely appointed name, but that he took steps to assure the life of Christ. He fled into Egypt to protect him from Herod's slaughter of the children. But not only that, he accepted the responsibility to given to all fathers to provide for his family. He was a carpenter. Let me stop and say this. Listen carefully. Families ought to be willing to live on the income of a daddy. Much of our trouble today starts when mama leaves home to go to work. Not because daddy is not working. Many times because they want more than daddy can provide. I got news for you. The most difficult times of our lives will be when we're married and having children and trying to make it on daddy's income alone. It's going to be tough. You're always going to have more month and money and more problems than you can pay for. But it doesn't get easier because mama goes to work. And you say, preacher, I don't like that. Well, my word to you is tutti frutti. Now, if father is impaired and cannot work, if there is no job available for the father and mama's willing to do something to hold ends together until daddy can get a job, or if it's a single parent, we understand those things. But I want you to know things can never replace mama in a home. Never. Now let me go ahead and say that mama doesn't work is a falsehood. If mama does her job at home, I couldn't afford to pay my wife for what she does. I couldn't afford to pay my wife what she did and as a mother taking care of our children and the home and cooking and taking care of me. But it is a partnership. God doesn't expect her to get paid with wages. She is a part of the family, and when she does her job and the father works to provide a living and does his job, they share in that home and the providing together. Well, that's not a popular subject in 2006. It's hard to have two beautiful cars and a nice new home and all the new clothes and eat high on the hog. But I tell you, your kids are more valuable than things. And your marriage is more valuable than things. This man accepted the responsibility of given to all fathers to provide for his family. Now let me stop right here and say a word to you daddies that work hard. God bless you. I want you to know I respect you. I love you. I thank God for you. Work is nothing to be ashamed of. Doesn't matter what the name of the work is, as long as it's moral and legal. It's honorable, even if it's manual labor. It's honorable. Whether you work with your head or your hands, if it's honest work, it's honorable work. And God bless you for not being afraid of work. May I suggest to you that most of us have less than we could have, not because we're not willing to work, but because we're not willing to obey God and trust God and do things God's way. Joseph was willing to obey God. He worked to provide for his family. In the Bible days, the first 5 years of a child's life was the responsibility of mama. Hey, by the way, most character is formed in a child in those early years. The first 5 years of the child's life, according to Jewish history, was the responsibility of mother's care. From age 5 to 12, That male child was under father's care. Can you imagine Joseph having the responsibility of teaching Jesus? Now, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes getting around some of our kids that are so bright, I get intimidated. Can you imagine Joseph trying to teach Jesus? Well, if Jesus wanted to be a smart aleck like some of you kids, he could have said, "Father, I already know I did it. I created it." I don't believe Jesus ever once said to Joseph, "I know." He grew. He was respectful to authority. He was not a smart aleck. He filled his place as a child under mother's care and as a child under father's care and teaching without bucking the system, without saying, "I'd do it differently." Jesus never one time told Joseph he was an old fogey. They don't do it that way anymore. You don't understand. This is A.D. 20. A.D. 15. No, not one time. He grew and matured as a child, and Joseph taught him. See, the Bible, our history teaches us that it was the father's responsibility to teach him character. Now, those character principles had already been instilled in him by mama. But from 5 to 10, daddy taught him all about character. He taught him a good work ethic. He taught him about honesty. He taught him about telling the truth. He taught him about the commandments, the Ten Commandments. He instilled character into his life. Joseph did it. Joseph, the father, taught him how to work. You know the reason some of your kids don't know how to work? You didn't teach them, Daddy. It's hard to teach them laying on a couch watching television. Let's hear it for Joseph. Anything but get off of this. Joseph taught him to work. When I was a boy growing up, our front yard was an acre. We didn't have power lawnmowers. We had an old push mower. You know, those real push mowers. I'm certain Daddy sowed weeds in that yard every week and fertilized them. Oh, man. Daddy teach your children to work. And let me say a word for the men. Mamas, teach them, your daughters, to cook. Please. Teach them to cook. Dear God, some of you think that all meals come out of a refrigerator freezer and they go into the microwave. There's something more to life than that. Teach them to cook. When I married my wife, she thought all milk automatically came in bottles. And that all food came prepared in cans that you just opened and heated up. Thank God my mama taught her how to cook. And when I married her, she was young enough, she could be taught a lot of things. She wasn't set in her ways. But Joseph taught Jesus how to work. And then, listen to what I'm about to say. According to the law, the father taught the sons about the scripture. Now, in teaching them about the scripture, Jewish boys studied in three stages. The first stage, from 5 to 10, they were taught the scriptures. Basically, here's what they were taught. I believe it's called the Mishnah. They were taught Genesis 1 through 10. They were taught Leviticus 1 through 9 and Numbers 1 through 10. From 5 to 10 years of age, they were taught this. From 10 to 15, they were taught traditional law. From 15 up, they were taught theology. I may be wrong on the name that I attached to that, but I'm not wrong on the ages. 5 to 10, only the scriptures. 10 to 15, traditional law according to the Bible. And 15 up, they were taught theology. And guess who taught him? Joseph. Joseph. Hey, Daddy. How much scripture have you taught your children? How much of the Word of God have you taught your children? How much theology? Theology is the science of God. How much theology have you taught your children? So I don't know. Why don't you start by picking up your church's doctrinal statement and see what the Bible teaches about God and about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, about salvation, about baptism, about the scriptures, about creation, the fall of man, about redemption, about the grace of God, about giving, about world missions. You know the reason your children don't know it and practice it? Because, Daddy, you don't know it and practice it. It's hard to teach what you don't know. But Joseph taught him character, taught him to work, taught him scripture. He was fulfilling the will of God. And by the way, that wasn't the will of God just for Joseph. That was the will of God for every man in Israel. May I say to you, it's still the will of God for Christians, Christian daddies, to train up their children in the way of God, the way of Jesus. Thank God for mamas who teach. Thank God for mamas who know and teach them about Jesus. And that's all right. Daddy, you ought to be behind it. You ought to be the one doing it. You ought to be the one encouraging it. You ought to be the one that's setting them down, giving them that basic training, that basic knowledge that will govern them through life. You know why I know daddies aren't doing it? Because America is going from a Christian nation to a secular nation. Then let me conclude. Joseph, now picture this, Joseph had to accept Jesus as his Savior. Can you picture that? Not only did Joseph have to accept Jesus as his Savior, Mary did also. Now, my personal opinion, it would be easier for Mary, knowing that she had never known a man, being chosen of God, knowing that she had this baby inside of her growing because the Holy Spirit of God put that seed in her to fulfill prophecy and bring the Son of God into the world. She was a part of it. She experienced it. Joseph heard and believed. He saw and believed. But Joseph had to trust this little boy. He had taught the scripture and taught the law and taught theology to. He had to accept him as Savior. And so did Mary. He said, oh, didn't they get a special pass into heaven? Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Tradition says that Joseph died when Jesus was just a teenager. He died prior to his crucifixion while he was still just a young man. Tradition says the traditional accepted history was that Jesus was about 18 years of age. Now that's not Bible, that's tradition. There's a big difference. Tradition is not divinely inspired. The Bible is. Tradition can be inaccurate. The Bible is truth. But just as Joseph was important to the training of the child Jesus and preparing him for manhood, I want to say to you tonight, so is every father important to the training of their children to manhood. If your child grows up to be less of a man or less of a woman, somewhere, you need to look back and say, oh God, did I make a mistake? Was I lazy? Did I shun my responsibility? Did I shirk my responsibility? I think that some of our children, no matter how hard we work and how hard we try, go wrong. I can't explain why Cain went wrong and Abel didn't. I can't explain that. I can't explain the situation with Esau and Jacob. Some do and some don't. But if they go wrong, God forbid that it's because we've neglected our responsibility as parents. God forbid that we didn't teach them and train them and give them the opportunity to have a life and a relationship with God. Some of our children don't respect authority today because they learned it from mom and daddy. Some of our children won't work. They're lazy and they learned it from mom and daddy. Some of our children are good liars and they learned it from mom and daddy. Some of our children have dirty mouths and dirty minds and they learned it from mom and daddy. Some of our children are faithful and love God, and they learned that from mom and daddy. Some of our children walk with God, and they learned that from some mamas and daddies. Some of our children are more faithful in tithing than some adults in our church. And those same children learned to tithe and give from mom and daddy. What's your children learning from you? You want to see what your child's going to turn out to be? Why don't you go look in the mirror? I guarantee you they'll not only resemble you in appearance, they're going to probably resemble you in their action as well. Because they learn from us. Joseph made sure that his son and his sons were taught properly. There was a son named James that became a preacher, got saved after the resurrection of Christ. There's another son named Judas, that got saved after the resurrection of Christ. I love to read their writings. Neither one of them starts their writings by saying, Jude or James, the brother of Jesus Christ. They started Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. They got saved. Now, I simply want to say to you tonight, just as Joseph was faithful in training up Jesus, we've got a responsibility too. And may God help us to use this Christmas season to learn the truth that it's not what the Father gives the child under the tree, but it's how He gives Himself to train that child for life. that really matters. It's not what's under the tree that's going to make a difference in their life, but Father pointing them to Jesus who hung on that tree in our place that'll give us a life worth living and a future worth looking forward to. If you want to give your children something this Christmas season that will make a difference in your home, then daddies and mamas, you dedicate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Try to be the man, the same kind of man, Daddy, that Joseph was. A good man, a real man, a righteous man, a man submissive and responsive to the will of God, a man who did right in spite of terrible circumstances. Father,